My name is Doc Wilson, and I've just been tasked by Mr. Moore to welcome everybody to tonight's call. But what I would like to do is there's a gentleman on this line that is probably one of my greatest friends and an absolute, I don't know, there's probably not just one thing you can say about him other than he probably gets more things done quicker than just about anybody I know. And I know that, as far as accolades go, he's got a bunch of them, but I guess the big ones is, first off, is he's a $250,000 ring earner, and he's our representative on the Platinum World Council. So with that, I'd like to turn the call over to a real good friend of mine, and that would be Mr. Jeremy Moore. Jeremy, if you're there, it's all yours, sir. Okay. Did I read that right, Jeremy?
Do what?
Oh, I'm sorry. I just gave you a fantastic introduction.
Well, thank you so much for that, Doc. I was getting music on my end. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, that's probably me. But I can say it's a $250,000 ring earner and our representative on the Platinum World Council. And like I say, a very good friend of mine, Mr. Jeremy Moore. It's all yours, sir.
Well, thank you so much for helping out tonight, Doc. We appreciate everything you do and contribute to the team. Good evening, everyone. This is the first Monday of every month, so we get to do our business solutions conference call. Before we get into the meat of the call, I get some exciting recognition I want to do to give special shout-out to some of the top producers in the entire company last week. They really closed the month out strong. So just at number 20, Joan and Bill Buckner from the great state of New Mexico. Number 12, Mark and Leslie Udy out of Arizona. Number 8, Sherry and Tom Brenda out of Texas. And the number 2 top producer in all of Legal Shield, Miss Lisa Streeter out of the great state of Georgia. So congratulations, guys. You absolutely are leading by example, and you killed it last week. Last night, on the leadership show and then in the corporate newsletter, they announced the winter getaway winners that we're going to be going in January to the Disney Yacht and Beach Club. So excited about that. There were several categories that you could compete in to earn one of those trips. And we have quite an impressive showing of solutions folks that took up the challenge and did the necessary work to earn that all-expense-paid trip to Orlando in January. And I want to recognize out of the great state of Kansas, Bob and Sheree Pilcher. Out of the great state of Utah, Miss Deanne DeBell. Also in Utah, Deanne and Brian Foster. Mr. Jimmy and Sherry Parrish out of Alabama. Joan and Bill Buckner out of New Mexico. Mark and Leslie Udy out of Arizona. And Miss Stephanie Bowley out of Kentucky all earned their trip to Orlando in the solution space. So congratulations, guys, on a job well done. And it's time to jump into the call tonight and turn the call over to our leader on the More Success team. He's taking up the torch and he's leading the way in the solution space for the entire organization. He's personally written he's empowered and protected more families than the entire population of Ada America, which is fairly quite impressive. He's a $250,000 income earner, but most important thing, he's my friend, and that is none other than Mr. Jimmy Parrish. Mr. Parrish, are you there?
I'm here, Jeremy. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. I'll just turn the call over to you, my friend.
Great. I need to put that thing about Ada in my introduction in the future. I like that. Put more people in than the entire city of Ada. That'll preach in my neck of the woods. But either way, I thank you for the opportunity to be involved tonight to introduce our guest speaker. Stephanie and I were talking recently about this, and we both felt like that the gentleman I'm about to introduce would be a wonderful speaker on our call tonight because he's relatively new with our company. Came over earlier this year and has quite a long pedigree in the benefits space, over 25 years with just one company. I know he's going to shed a little bit more light on his personal introduction, but through my involvement with the Solutions Advisory Council and some other organizations working with the corporate, I've enjoyed getting to know him personally and being on committees and just appreciate his work ethic and his dedication to his job. He's also very personable because one of the first things I recall within the first couple of months after he came on board, he called me personally. And, you know, there are a lot of people that might come on board this company, but I don't get a personal phone call from someone in his position, and I'll always be appreciative of him for that. But I don't want to steal his thunder tonight. He hails from Providence, Rhode Island, so you won't hear that Oklahoma and Texas accent on this call, but I want you to work past that and just listen to the content because he'll have a lot to share with us. But it's my pleasure to introduce our Vice President of Sales for Legal Shield Business Solutions, Mr. Ted Vitale. Ted, take the call.
Jimmy,
glad to have you tonight.
Thank you so much, sir. Am I coming in okay? Can you hear me?
Can hear you very well. Thank you.
Okay, great. It's a pleasure and a privilege, and I'm honored to be asked to join your call this evening. And I just thought I'd give you a little bit about my background, where I'm from, some of the different areas, spaces I've worked in, and how I ended up coming to Legal Shield, excuse me, and then take you through some of the projects or initiatives that my team and I are working on to make things better for all of you. Trying to remove obstacles, make it a smoother process, and ultimately put more money in your pockets. So again, my name is Ted Vitale. I joined the company on May 13th. So I'm approaching 6 months very shortly. I came from a large international insurance company, which you may have recalled their mascot was a dog at one time. I was there for 27 years. I started there right out of graduating the University of Rhode Island. I moved around quite a bit with the company. I spent some time in New Jersey, a little bit of time in Chicago. And then I was in St. Louis, Missouri for 4 years, and my territory consisted of Missouri, Kansas, Arkansas, and Nebraska. So visiting the Ada area in Oklahoma City, I'm familiar with that area of the country, did a lot of traveling throughout that space. Then I spent 2 years down in Atlanta, Georgia, and then moved back to Rhode Island back in the late 90s. And my career at my former company, you can kind of chop it up into thirds. The first third of my career, I worked with the large employer groups through large national brokerage firms. And at the time when I was an account executive, I could only prospect employer groups of 2,000 employees and up. So I couldn't touch anything under 2,000. That was a different space. So really, my biggest sale was partnering with the brokers and working with those folks and hopefully getting into their local accounts. Then the next part of my career, I spent about 10 years working with property and casualty independent insurance agents. I worked with financial planners, life insurance, annuity, disability agents as well. And basically my responsibilities were to work in a particular territory and support those markets in the field for product training, developmental purposes, and just overall revenue growth. Excuse me. And then the last part of my career, I worked with our captive employee channel, where these were exclusive agents who sold property and casualty insurance for the distribution channel. I was part of the company, and they were employee agents. So they were exclusive representatives of our company, and they could only sell our products. So coming over to Legal Shield, a former colleague of mine years ago, we kind of cut our teeth together in the company, and that's none other than Glenn Peterson. I kept in touch a little bit over the years, but really wasn't looking, was comfortable where I was and what I was doing. Kind of tapped me on the shoulder. We had maybe about three or four conversations. Then he introduced me to a number of associates. I went out to Ada, and it just happened overnight, and I was hooked. I'm being totally honest with everybody. And I told him, I said, I'm all in on this. I've had 27 years with a great company. I'm at a point where I still have many years in front of me in terms of working ahead. So this isn't something I'm looking to just do for a couple of years and then pull the plug. So I'm sold on what all of you are doing. And quite frankly, and I tell this to a lot of people and teams I'm fortunate to speak with, folks like yourselves are the ones how I ended up coming over here. I had a series of interviews with many of the executive team and many of those folks out of ADA. But Glenn also had me talk to a good 6 to 10 of associates out there. And they really, I don't want to say grilled me, but pressed me in terms of what they felt they needed and what how I could help complement them on that. And we had some great dialogue and conversations. And for me personally and professionally, that's what solidified things. So that's how I came to be. I came here back in May. I may have met some of you recently in Salt Lake City. That was my first national convention. I'm really looking forward to the Dallas Spring Convention. That should be pretty exciting. Close to 8,000 people, I hear, attend that. So I'm very open, very transparent. If there's anything anyone you wanted to talk to me offline or question or whatever, either myself or my team, I promise we'll do our best to answer it for you. So a little bit about some of the things that my team and I are currently working on. You may be working with some of our ACs or MGMs who are Linda Stone, Daniel Wall, Fred Turner, and Brandon Clark. I basically leveled out their responsibilities in terms of supporting the field, and each one of those individuals is aligned with one of our four BVPs. And what my team is basically doing now is they're really working hard to support the field in terms of being very proactive as opposed to reactive. And what I mean by that is we're all responsible for making outbound calls to our associates that fit in that top 250 space and beyond, making monthly call outs to them. Anytime a new associate goes through a level one or a level two training, they make a personal phone call to them the very next week just to introduce themselves to them. Also make sure that they're connecting the dots in terms of where to go next if they need that kind of help or if there's any other clarity that they can share with those new associates coming out of their new training. They're also responsible for conservation, and I'll get into that in a couple of seconds here, and really just working to support the field. So I've made some recent changes to the team over the last few months, and so far the feedback I've been receiving has been generally positive and proactive, so we're feeling really good about that. The other major initiative that we're working on is training. There's a lot to training, and we have worked with an outside consulting firm in the past, and I rehired them back in terms of looking at some of the training that we're doing out there, the curriculum, and the path for an associate, whether you're coming in through network and step over to business solutions or anything in between. And quite honestly, we could have the best training in the world, the best curriculum, the best classes, but a lot of that really stems with those trainers who are in the classrooms, and some of you may be those trainers. And right now I'm working with a team of trainers who we feel are some of the leaders out there of the training world, and getting some insight from them. We had a call today to discuss what we need to do in terms of maybe regionalizing some of the training with the state trainers and the field trainers, and maybe have this person kind of be a consistent and collective voice of corporate and the associates, making sure that a consistent message is going to, out to all of those state and field trainers. We're all different personalities. We have different accents. We have different ways of delivering the curriculum. But the one thing, it should be consistent. So what you're hearing in Mississippi, you should be hearing in Long Island, New York. But the style might be a little different, of course. So that is something that we're taking a very slow, methodical approach with to make sure that we are giving the developing and offering the best product out there. Because think about it. When you're a new associate and you sit in that training classroom, that's legal shield to you. That's your first impression. And the goal here is to make it the most positive, best first impression that you could possibly have, where you come out of there and you're excited, you're enthused, you're motivated, and you want to go make some money. And that's what we're trying to do here, is make sure that we're all consistent with that countrywide. And the team that I am part of will help support that as well. So we're in the early stages of that, but I'm feeling pretty confident by 1-1, we should have a program and a process rolled out. So there's more to come on that. The other area I'd like to touch on is recruiting. And this is where, you know, things have fallen off over the last several years. And quite frankly, you know, my understanding is a lot of business solutions associates migrated or may have come over from the network channel, which is fantastic. And recruiting has slowed down. There's a number of reasons why we could say it's slowed down, but I'm not in the excuse business. I'm more in the solving business. So what my team and I are attempting to do for first quarter of 2020 is we want to have some recruiting pilots take place in some strategic cities throughout the United States, co-hosted by the four BVPs. So each of the four BVPs would be hosting a recruiting event in one of their markets. So for example, we might have one in Dallas, Atlanta, Phoenix, possibly Baltimore, DC metro area, something like that. And these wouldn't be micro or small recruiting events. These would be larger scale. And we would invite associates to attend, but those current associates, what we are trying to incent them to do is there might be like a small door fee or something like that. You could skip that by bringing in a new recruit or several recruits and build some incentives around that. So we really want to get people in the room more from that insurance or professional seller space who are, I don't necessarily want to say turnkey, but get business, get B2B, and can really be motivated. So more to come on that, but that is definitely a big initiative that we're working on. I just shared that with Jeff Bell and the executive team and Glenn Peterson. So my confidence level is pretty high with that pilot that we're running. And just to share some statistics with you folks, we recently implemented back in August through our BVP regions a series of webinars for both insurance professionals and professional sellers. And to date, in a few short months, we had over 13 webinars. We had over 2,100 people register for those webinars. And of those 2,100, we had just over 1,000 actually attend, which is a great hit ratio. And these are people who never knew about Legal Shield. They weren't dragged in there. We did an email, I'll call it a drip campaign, to these insurance professionals and professional sellers. We looked at strategic markets. We tried to be very surgical and methodical about attempting to invite them and then recruit. And then just in totality, year to date, we've recruited almost 1,300 new recruits within Business Solutions, and just month to date alone, 101. So I'm really proud of the team I'm part of and some of the initiatives that we've worked on in the recruiting space. So we're going to continue that going into next year and hopefully add more to it. And then lastly, before I know some questions may have been submitted and we'll get to that, I'd also like to touch on another major initiative, and that's conservation. And conservation has now been pulled in-house within Mandy Simmons' organization. And basically what we're doing is it's a twofold process. Mandy owns it on the front end, and I own it on the back end in terms of driving the results. So Mandy has a team of individuals that are calling out some of these accounts that are no longer being serviced or they're dormant, and they're vetting them. And what I mean by vetting them, they're calling the accounts, working hard to get to the right person within that company, because it may have changed. It could be years, months, whatever may have happened, and asking them about, are you interested in reengaging with us? Are you interested in an associate calling on you? And so forth, and documenting that. And then my team of four get a file every week and an Excel document with all of that information. And then what they are doing is, through the support of the BVPs, is reaching out to associates to see who, where, what the situation is, who's the best fit to possibly have that account assigned to them. So I know that that's, you know, I was talking with some of the folks in home office, and it seems like conservation was always number 98 on 100 things that the company was trying to do. When it came up again and we got serious about it, I'm all about driving results. So I'm working hard with my team. I'm monitoring the accounts that are being reassigned. And then also we're taking a look at all of those accounts, 30, 60, 90, 180 days out, and measuring and looking at what the results are of that. Because that's business that's just sitting out there and hasn't been touched. So I look at that as quote-unquote gravy business, in terms of it hasn't been organically worked in many months or even years, and we're getting something from nothing, so to speak, all due respect, that they've just been out there. So basically, you know, a little bit on my background, my team structure, we talked about training, recruiting, and conservation. But Jimmy and team, I'll turn it back over to you because I want to be sensitive to time. I know there are a couple of questions that you might have been sent in that I'm hopefully prepared enough to answer to the best of my ability. If I don't know it, I'll be honest and tell you I don't know, or if I have to check on something, but I will ultimately get you the answer one way or another.
Well, yeah, thanks so much, Ted. And, yes, for those that are, on the call, we did reach out, Steffi and I did, to several of the solutions executive directors, and we had several questions submitted, and time will not allow us to get to all of them to stay within our 30-minute time frame. But I did want to ask you several of these, and
sure.
Feel free to take 1 or 2 minutes as time will allow. And one of those we thought was a great question, especially this being in your first 6 months, and you're kind of, you know, getting your feet wet, so to speak. But obviously you've been here long enough, Ted, to determine possibly what is your vision for Business Solutions as we move ahead to the next few years, if you've had a chance to dwell on that at all.
Yeah, no, that's a great question, and I want to answer this with all due respect. I've been here less than 6 months, so quite frankly, who am I to say what my ultimate vision is? But I'd rather build this out by more so of what I see I can do and leverage to support the growth of solutions. So if you want to call it a vision, it's growth, and it's positive growth. And I'm more about quality, not necessarily quantity, meaning, hey, it's great if you bring on 2,500 new recruits, but is it great if only 15% or 20% of them ever do anything? So I want to be thoughtful and mindful of our recruiting process. And then more importantly, those recruits that we do bring on board, bringing them through a well-structured, state-of-the-art, high industry standards training curriculum. So in terms of the vision, it's overall growth and our training, and then also the ability to add other complementary products to our existing portfolio. I'm working very closely with Scott Grisham right now on another product that I really can't talk too much about now because we're still in some contractual agreements, but I know for a fact it's something that will be exciting to all of you. We're developing a little pilot team to pilot it, more to come on that. So I hope that kind of rounds out things, Jimmy, in terms of a vision or at least a directive that I'm trying to achieve.
Oh, yeah, very exciting. That's good. And then, you know, I know this has been battered around for probably the last year, year and a half, mm-hmm. Ted, even before your time, but a couple of the associates that we polled were just asking if you could possibly explain a reason for reducing the amount of Business Solutions earners on incentive trips, because that number has shifted, not really 50-50, but more tailored toward those that are team builders. And is there anything you could add from your perspective in the time you've been with the company to explain a little bit of that rationale?
Sure, and I can understand where the question may come from. And if I'm off base, Jimmy, you just jump in. You've been involved in a lot of conversations. So you look at network and you look at solutions and you look at the amount of business revenue network brings in and solutions. And solution brings in a bit more. And I know historically we have not had as many trips, basically being founded as a network company. A lot of people view us that way. I know for this year, especially in terms of the Mexico trip, we have added more spots. And although you may see the availability of how many spots there are publicly, I'll tell all of you with full transparency that we're holding a number of spots back to offer along the way additional incentives for associates. I do find that, and I hear, you know, a lot of times it's, I don't want to say the same old, but you get a lot of this same folks attending, and some people just don't have a shot out of to go or might not have been motivated enough. I'm trying to open up and expand that a little bit. And for example, I'll share this with all of you. We're looking at possibly offering a couple of trips to someone who's only been appointed with us for a year or less. Now, the question is, how do I do that and how do I validate that? I can't obviously send someone on a trip for several hundreds of dollars of premium that they brought in. But we're looking at ways of offering that because if we can inspire our new associates to say, wow, I might have a shot at getting a couple of one or two of these trips this year, I'd like to be able to do that, and that's something that we may be carrying over the winter months. So quite honestly, I'm probably saying a little more than I really should, but I want to be honest with all of you where my mind is thinking and how we can expand that. Also, what we're doing in terms of trips, and you may have seen it communicated this week for incentives. If you qualify for another trip that you may have already won, Teresa just sent something out this past Monday, you could convert that trip into extended days. So if you qualified your normal way and we ran another incentive and you won a trip again, you can't take the two trips, but what you could do is the equivalent of that trip might be three extra nights at that particular resort. So we're looking to do that, be mindful and thoughtful with it. So I hope ties in what you asked there.
Excellent, yeah. And then, you know, and this affected me, quite honestly, but and I know there are a couple people on the call did too, even though I didn't ask it, I thought it was a good question. It said, you know, there was a 10% on conservation accounts that would automatically go to the person named by the corporate office to reassign the account, but didn't work the account personally. So the question was asked by some people on this call tonight, will that percentage go away since that format of reassigning accounts is changing?
It is my understanding, yes, and I will confirm that for you in writing, though, Jimmy, okay?
That's great. Okay. That's good. All right.
Because that person, that role there isn't there anymore where
exactly.
It previously was. So believe
well,
my team has
yeah.
skin in the game. Yeah, it does. And my team has skin in the game in the sense of this is part of your job responsibility, okay?
Right. Well, it's like you said at the outset of the call, your objective is to try to put more dollars in our pockets, and that's a step in the right direction, I think. And then finally, I know we're getting toward the bottom of the hour, but last question I think we may have time for is, Ted, is I know you may have touched on this briefly, but specifically looking at the end of the fourth quarter, first quarter of the year leading up to our international convention, do you see any new services being launched during that time for Business Solutions?
So services, and I just want to make sure I answer the question, in terms of like product launches or additional compliment? Yes, okay. So what I was talking about earlier really fits nice, and kind of think of it more in the space of more like vulnerability scanning, where an employer, whether it's three employees or 300 employees, they're vulnerable from email, campaigns, and many other ways to cyber attack their associates, their employees within that business. So this is a product that fits in that space. It's sold on a national level. It works. And many companies are making a lot of money in terms of selling this product. And we're looking at something like that. Some of the other things that the company is looking at, and I've had conversations with Scott Grissom about this, is more financial protection, planning, and so forth. So if you know, especially around college, many of us have kids in college and refinancing loans and so forth. There are some products out there that fit nicely in that space, and probably many of you are very familiar with it just in the course of doing business and your sales out there. We're starting to look more closely at those kind of companies as well and have more of a better portfolio of products to offer that, but they all kind of complement each other. They're all a little different, but they fit nicely together. So I hope that gives you a little indication of things. Beyond those two examples, that's about the best I could give you at this time.
Well, I do appreciate that very much, Ted. First of all, thank you for your availability tonight, and thank you for your transparency and being willing to share not only what you have done just in the brief time you've been with the company, but where you anticipate you going personally and we going professionally as a company and as a solutions division. I'm looking forward to working with you even more closely, and thank you again for your time tonight.
Absolutely, anytime. And thank you all for all you do, and I'm fortunate to be part of your team, so thank you very much.
Thank you, Ted. And Jeremy, I'll turn it back over to you.
All right, guys. What a phenomenal call. We do have this call recorded, so I encourage you guys to go back and listen to those answers one or more times and reach out to your team members to encourage them that may have not been on this call to go back and listen to it. So what a phenomenal call. We do have our regular team call coming up in a little less than 30 minutes. So I encourage you all to jump back on the line there. We have Mr. Cliff Malloy brand new Platinum World Council member out of the great state of New York, going to be pouring into us tonight. So make sure you reach out to your teams and get them to plug in to that call that starts in less than 30 minutes. Again, guys, thank you for joining us tonight. Always put God first in your life, your family second, Legal Shield third, and everything else will take care of itself. We'll hear you in a few minutes, guys.
Good night.